Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
Today we're measuring levels of karma, or at least talking about measuring levels of karma, and taking calls for on-air readings. I think what we're going to do today is take a caller first and then get into our topic, Neil. Is that okay?
That's fine.
So want to invite our callers and listeners to join us on Blog Talk Radio, to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. 562-596-7818 is the number to call if you'd like to talk after the show. But today, for today's show, for the next hour, 914-338-0164 is the number to call. Press 1 on your handset if you'd like to speak with us, but people forget sometimes. So what I'm going to do is bring on one caller, and then we're going to move into our topic. So 203 is our first. Hi there. Who's this?
Hello.
Are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry for that.
I am. You know, it's very, very difficult to hear you. So if you could talk right into that. That's a little bit better. Who's this?
No, it's all jumbled. We really.
But
can't
I think
hear.
I think it's partially.
Still?
Yeah, it's. I think part. Part of it is our connection because of the rain, because we have rain here. So I think we've got a problematic internet connection. Say your name again, please.
Dikita, can you hear me?
Yeah, it's very garbled.
Different room.
Okay,
wow.
just talk real slowly and clearly.
Okay. My name is Dikita.
Dikita, can you spell that for us? I know you've done it before, but I don't have the right
spelling. Sure. No, it's all right. D-A-A-K-I-E-T-A.
Okay, and it's better wherever you went is an improvement. So.
Oh, okay. I'm in the corner of my room.
Okay, well, that's a little bit garbled still. But anyway, what's your birth date, Dikita?
7981.
7981, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. 2, 8, 3, 1, 2. Okay, and what brings you to the show today?
The topic of karma, because I'm experiencing a lot of negativity, and I'm learning to distinguish which is what is my reality and what is somebody else's, and I'm learning how to distinguish between the two. So if you can just get into my energy and just show me how to overcome that.
You know, we were talking about that on the last show, actually, because, you know, we all come into the earth with past life karma. We create karma while we're on the planet. And sometimes we get involved in someone else's karma that has nothing to do with our own. And it has an impact on our life. So right
well,
in line.
The,
she was. You, can you not hear?
No, I couldn't hear.
Oh, she's saying that she's learning how to figure out what's her own stuff and someone else's. So, you know, separate her issues from those of others.
Well, Dikita, sometimes it's difficult when you're involved with someone to separate the two, because it doesn't mean to say that your individual karma is also somehow mingled with the other person's individual karma. Sometimes it's difficult to really distinguish between the two factors. What you have to assume is that when you are involved with somebody and their karma seems to be disrupting your own, then maybe there are some rules of interpretation that can be applied. For instance, you have to understand that whatever this person is going through, is it part of your life? In other words, are you bonded to the person through a contract, through a license, through any kind of interaction that would otherwise be deemed as vital, important, legal? If the answer to that is no, and it becomes an emotional issue of responsibility, then again, you have to determine what the separation would mean in terms of consequences. Does the separation involve an effect upon yourself that would necessitate some major form of decision making? In other words, if you have somebody leave your apartment that is cohabitating the apartment with you, if they leave, does it mean that you have greater impact on the rent? All of these things are important to analyze when you're looking at the difference between one person's karma and your own, or intermingled as two in one.
It might be noteworthy to say that in July, she reached her age of 35.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, she's obviously going through a karmic change herself.
Going through a karmic change yourself. But, you know, the idea of looking at this would require a further analysis about the interpersonal relationship you have with this person, what are the conditions, what's the surrounding circumstances, things like that. Also, the birth dates would have to be taken into account. But if you're asking, generally speaking, how do you separate your karma from somebody's or determine, you have to first involve yourself as how far are you entwined in the person's life. I think we all have some capacity to separate from any given person on the planet if we want to. What the karmic consequences are of that is hard to measure until the act is done. But I don't know, you might want to share with us very briefly about the circumstances without revealing any names.
Okay. Well, there was this woman that I had found that was in need of faith. And I had allotted her that time. Actually, my aunt took on the burden of taking her in and, you know, sheltering her. But then I started to get perturbed by her behavior or whatever. So I took her in because I wasn't in my space. So my aunt found out, got upset, and was like, look, she needs to go. So
wait, let's just stop because it's spotty, right? It's the connection.
Yeah.
So there's a woman that you
yeah.
took in that was living with a family member. Is that right?
Right.
And so you took on the responsibility of providing her a home to live.
Right. And then I noticed that, and I probably am guilty of it, that, you know, when I get into her presence, her energy, she's very negative, you know, and I tried to do the forgiveness thing with her, you know, and we reconnected again out of the flu, and I noticed that she's harboring a lot of feelings, so I went to her and I said, I'm sorry if you felt as though no one was there for you, and if I mean, you know, if you feel as though I abandoned you, but, you know, my obligation to family is greater than, you know, what you was going through, to be honest with you, because you could survive, you know. But it's like I said, it's truly negative. And I noticed before that when me and older women, because she's older than me,
mm-hmm.
when they approach me in a different way, like I tend to get nasty, truth be told, and then bad things happen to me afterwards. So this is why I act. If by me, you know, being self-assertive and not getting disrespectful this time with that, you know, set me on a roller coaster of bad events.
So you said that when you interact with older women, you tend to get
because they tend to get nasty because I feel as though, you know, being that they know that I'm younger than them and they have experience, that I have no sense.
They get nasty. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Is this person paying you any rent?
That's what I was going to ask.
Person,
exactly.
No, that's the thing. It was free. You know, I freely gave her space.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay,
as a human being,
is she still there? Is she still with you?
No,
so
but
she's
that's
out.
One of her gripes. Right.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't owe her anything.
So what are you asking us? If you had a karma for this person?
Huh?
If you had karma to keep this person in your life?
Right.
No. No.
Okay.
Yeah, the person, there was nothing legally binding you to the person. They didn't pay the rent for the month. You can't kick them out then. But it was free habitation. There were no conditions set. There was no contract. There was no lease. Nothing was involved there. And it's your personal space. And if you're not happy with her being there, tell her to leave. You don't have to examine your karma to such an extent that you need to be abused.
What's do you know her birthday? By any chance, might be interesting to look at that. But.
She's an Aquarius. I think she's January Aquarius.
January. Mm-hmm. Well, she's got problems in foundation if she's in January. Obviously, that's coming up in her life. She's probably.
Mm-hmm. You know, the idea morally and ethically is, if you take somebody in, how much responsibility do you have once you take somebody in? I mean, if you pick somebody up off the road that's stranded, are you allowed to just kick them out of the car while you're driving? Obviously not. But, but you know, the idea is surrounded by perhaps circumstance. If she said, listen, if you have me leave now, there are four men outside waiting to kill me. Well,
that's
a moral decision. If she says, if you have me leave now and you're putting me out into the cold and I have nowhere to go, then maybe you find provisions for her. But first of all, you have to determine the legalities of the living dynamic. And then you also have to determine the legalities of throwing somebody out of your home. And, you know, it's like the hospitals that or the prisons that just throw mentally ill people out into the streets and they are wandering around. You know, we have a certain responsibility on a human level. However, you have a right to protect and secure your personal space.
Right.
And if there's no legal binding issues going on around it, you have every right to tell her to leave, and that's not necessarily your problem, what she does with the rest of her life.
Right, because how many people are taking people into their homes for free? I mean, it's not, you know, commonplace that people are housing.
Yeah, you have to think before you act. If you bring somebody into your home, think before you act. Why are you doing it? What are the conditions going to be? The understanding. But somebody just can't ride all over you and start to create issues. If they're a guest in your home and they don't like your tone, too bad, leave.
Yeah.
You don't need to change. They need to adapt. So I hope that helps.
Right. Hopefully that helps you, Dakita.
Yes, it do. Thank you so very much. It do.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. And
have
Dakita
a good weekend. Thank you.
Good. You have a good weekend, too. Dakita can join us here on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook. We invite her to do so. And if she has more questions, 562-596-7818. Okay, I lied. I didn't lie. I don't lie. But I'm going to take one more caller, and then we're going to get into our discussion. 402. Hi there.
Hello.
Who's there? Hi.
Hi, this is Diane. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome, Diane. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little concerned about a certain issue. So when I saw your show today, I thought I'd give you a call.
You called the right place. Where are you located?
I'm in Nebraska.
Nebraska. I bet it's cold in Nebraska.
I don't even think it's 10 degrees today yet. It's very cold, yes.
Yeah. Okay, and your birth date, please.
March 24th, 1962.
3/24/62. Okay, what's going on?
March 24th.
Right, 3/24/1962. So we're adding up the numerical value of your birthday. You have but go on. Go ahead. While we add up, you can tell us what's going on.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been in a romantic relationship for a little over a year now. Wonderful man, great relationship. But the issue is I think he's got something bad in his history, like maybe sexual abuse, because he's not able to be intimate. And I'm getting at this place where I'm deciding whether to end it and stop or see if he's really ever going to get help for it.
Okay, what's his birth date?
His birthday is July
27th, 1958.
27th, 1958.
Okay. 39, 12, 3.
Well, basically speaking, Diane, you're entitled to a healthy relationship.
Right.
And assuming that this has been a year in making and you're not married, you're entitled to a healthy relationship. You as a person, you can make personal decisions as to whether you want to abide or abode with somebody because they have problems or whether they don't. That's your business. That's up to you on a personal, subjective level. But
right.
if you're not comfortable with the relationship and you're not feeling fulfilled and there's difficulties, then you have to, I guess you have to tackle your consciousness, your the levels of guilt or responsibility you have. But there is a surface on the human map, on the human brain that says, if I'm not happy, if I'm not feeling fulfilled, I can leave. Here, there are no legalities for you to work through except for the verbal statement, I'm not happy with this. I need to find a fulfilling relationship. I can remain your friend if that's possible, or maybe not. But if you were to also go to stage two and say, look, your problems are causing a disturbance in my own personal space. Let's see if we can get you help. And if you're not proactive about it, and allow me to become involved in the process because you are living under my roof, so to speak, then I don't want any part of it. So you have to be clear. I think, Diane, in love, there's also clarity. There's objectivity that has to be put forth. And you need to stay healthy.
How long have you two been involved?
We've been friends now for almost 2 years and dating for just a little over a year.
Just a little over
a year.
Well,
you know, what leads you to believe there's sexual abuse?
Well, I knew he had issues with sex due to a previous medical thing, and that wasn't so bad, but I need at least the intimacy, and we hold hands and we kiss a little bit, but that's about it.
That's what I was going to ask. I couldn't remember what I was going to ask you, but you reminded me. So you're saying he cannot be intimate. Are you saying that he cannot perform, like he's impotent, or this he won't even go to a place to explore a more, sexuality with you?
He's impotent, and he's not even tried to explore any type of sexuality or intimacy, like just lying together naked, cuddling, that with no sex, not even tried that.
Diane, what's your problem? I mean, why are you putting up? Is this okay with you?
Well, I'm just raising that question now because this is we get along great. We have so many great interests together. That,
It's
the best relationship I've been in thus far. This is the only issue with it.
Well, that's a huge issue.
Well, it's a big issue, and you're clouding the issue with ambiguous reasoning. You know, he's a friend.
Right.
He's a friend is what it seems to be. A full-fledged relationship, unless two parties are agreeable, and that's where they're at. But it doesn't sound like this is an agreeable situation. You're looking for intimacy on a sexual level. He's not able to give that. And so the relationship is cut short of a full-fledged relationship. And
right.
if you want to induce yourself into believing that you have a full-fledged relationship, which I don't think you are, but if you want to settle for a full-fledged relationship that is devoid of sexuality, you're robbing yourself of a behavior, of an action, of an experience that you're entitled to. And then you have to examine your own self-esteem. So,
right.
You know,
well, I guess part of the issue is it took me so long to meet him that I'm wondering, is there anyone out there that can give me that full relationship?
Well, you're dealing with ifs and buts and whatnot. If
right.
you're afraid of the future, then live in the present. If the future scares you and you don't trust the future, then live in the present and celebrate the fact that you are in a relationship devoid of sexuality. And that's all you're entitled to because you're afraid what's going to happen tomorrow. But I'll tell you what, if you're afraid of that, then you better be afraid of everything from your bowel movements to where you're going to be going next year for a vacation. Because if you're afraid of the future and you stay stuck in the present and limit your resources or your chances for adventure due to fear, I'm not going to, you know, you're on this radio show, we don't promote that. We promote boldness. So you know, I'm being blunt because I want to get from one end of the body experience to the other. And I'm saying to you that if you're saying, well, I have to settle for this because it took me so long to get this relationship, now that I have this, I'm willing to take it. And well, then if that's what you're willing to do, that's what you're willing to stop. And all I'm saying to you, Diane, because it's a brief radio reading, is that I don't believe you need to stop there. I don't think that if you're asking psychically, what should I do? You either compel this person to get help and you're involved in the process and you work it through diligently, courageously, and assertively, or in my opinion, you move on.
Is he interested in getting help at all, or?
I asked him about it once, and he said he was, and then I brought it up a little bit later, and he said he had tried about 5 years before, and he didn't want to do it again. So
yeah,
I get mixed
that's, not, that's not a good situation.
No, you know, that's you know, you're living in his crisis.
Right, that's
5 years
codependency.
Ago, and that it doesn't. You guys have you're tackling a problem. Now, Diane, if you want to settle for this, and you say, you know what, I'm happy. I'm really okay with this. Inside, I'm okay. Then I'll say, what? Then there's no argument. That's fine. Then that's your cup of tea. But otherwise. And that's not what I'm hearing from you. And you're now caught in the division of what do I do? Do I face my fears and conquer them and move on? Or do I live in my fear and settle for something less than what I really want? That's the issue. And in my estimation, even as a psychic, I can't prepare myself to tell you that you need to settle for this. So, you know, take your stand and live on it, but be bold. And if you're going to stay, then don't complain. Love it. Love the fact that you are in a relationship devoid of sexuality and embrace it and just appreciate who he is and who you are and stop there. And if you're not happy, don't lie to yourself. I mean, I hope that helps.
It does. It does. And I need to kind of meditate on that because sometimes I am happy with it. It's just starting to raise to the surface where I'm not.
Well, don't adjust yourself for contentment. Adjust yourself for attainment. You must attain the higher part of who you are, not the lower part.
Okay.
Okay, Diane. Well, hopefully that helps. Keep in touch with us.
Okay, will do. Thank you both very much for your time and your help.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Okay, so measuring karma. You know, we got an interesting email, and it was about from someone who was invited to our show on Facebook. We invite people to the show, and it was on becoming quantum. And apparently, this person was suggesting to it to us in relation to the specific topic today about karma. And so I read the article. I don't know. Did you look at the article, Neil?
I'm not.
I don't think you did.
Maybe not.
But just quickly, really quickly, the article essentially stated that karma, you know, is a state of mind and, you know, our experience, we can create ourselves, which I think has some validity and some merit. But, you know, I don't think it's as simple as, you know, addressing the article like the person wants to do. I don't think life is as simple as putting your attention on something and changing it automatically because you will it to be so. The system is much more complicated. There's more rigidity in the planet we live on. This is not, you know, we are not in the astral realm. We are on the physical plane of the earth.
Right. The amazing thing about the will is that it's available to us at all times. So what's magical about the will is that we get to work with it. We get to work with ourselves as aspiring human beings trying to change things. That's the miraculous breath of existence. Whether we succeed or fail is the icing on the cake or maybe the lack thereof. But the idea that we work according to our will is the best thing of all. Now, are there situations where karma is just so embedded that there's nothing that can be done about it? I would assume so. I mean, in my experience in doing this kind of work, yeah, I've seen karma rigid, and there's just nothing. But it's hard to really suggest to anyone not to keep trying. I believe that if karma is so intense and so strong that there's nothing you can do about it, you either work around it or you work to break it and provide for yourself the struggle that you had in life trying to overcome your karma. I mean, someone was just suggesting to me about that Buddhist belief that suffering is part of existence. Suffering is bliss. And if we suffer and struggle in life, but we call it existence, that can be a merit. So I don't know, you know, the idea that the most severe challenges creates the best discoveries, I think applies in all cases. So I can't really suggest that someone give in to karma as much as that someone keeps confronting it and working through it. I think that's the best life aspiring breath that one can give to a difficult situation. Is there a time to give up? Is there a time to let go? Certainly. Well, I'm not suggesting that, though.
Well, that's what I mean, and that's what the show is about, and the work that we do is about changing energy and trying to transform people's karma. You know, we get into the idea of destiny. You know, when you come down to earth, is there a clear destiny path for each individual? I mean, is it set in advance? How creative can each one of us be in terms of changing that destiny? And what is actually fixed and unchangeable? I mean, I think it varies, obviously, by individual.
Let's present an example of someone who kills 10 people and goes to jail, and they killed them brutally, and they're in jail, and they have a life sentence passed on them. But in jail, they reform. They're never going to be they're never going to be out of jail. They'll always remain in jail.
Who is that person that did that? The guy who worked with birds?
Well, the Birdman of Alcatraz.
The Birdman of Alcatraz, yeah.
Robert Shroud, I think. The idea that you can transform yourself within the confines of the conditions of your karma can still be miraculous. So even though we may not transcend our karma within a given lifetime, we can convert, change, morph our karma into a higher aspect of human motivation than what has been delivered
to us
by judgment.
Right.
Whether it's the judgment of the planet or the judgment of the universe. So I believe that within the confines of karma, there can be transformation.
Right, because if we're just talking about a sheer number system, I mean, there are people with low numbers in the birth date, a low master number, and they exceed all expectations of that code. And then there are, you know, conversely, people with very high numbers should be actualizing a spiritual energy, endurance. They should have transcended already. They may be nines, and they're failing miserably at life.
Let's look at the guy in South Africa who lost his legs. He won the Olympics or something, and then he murdered his wife in the bathroom. I forget his name.
Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah. Now, here's a situation of someone who overcame the obstacles of his body, went on to win great awards and achievements, and then due to domestic squabbles or alcohol or having a gun in his possession and waving it around at all times, found himself convicted of murder. Overcoming an obstacle is part of life. It's part of life. The conduct of one's behavior is a continuous stream of life. So we have to remain somewhat responsible to every breath we breathe. Just because we've accomplished and overcome an obstacle, that doesn't give us the right to be a despot, a dictator, a murderer, an abuser. It all forms itself into one total package that no matter who we are or what we are or what has been done to us or what we need to overcome, we're responsible for our current behavior at every given second of the day. at night.
Yeah. You know, I was reading another article quite some time ago. I may have mentioned it on the show, but it was, you know, another article about karma on like the elephant, I don't know, it's the Elephant Journal or something like that, that they do spiritual articles on there. Anyway, it talked about Adolf Hitler, that he would have the choice, you know, what he wants to do in his successive lifetime. You know, does he want to come back once and live, you know, have a harsh life and as punishment, or does he want to come back multiple times and just live comfortable lives, as if he would have the choice to create his own destiny after he had committed such atrocities? I mean, I know he didn't personally kill anybody, but I mean, he obviously ordered the deaths of millions and millions.
It's hard to
and
be
torture.
It's hard to be clearly to clearly define the conditions of karma, but according to my understanding of karma, you just don't get to dictate what you want to do if, in fact, there is a return to the planet and the soul is to receive the consequences of former lifetimes in that lifetime.
And even, you know, I've mentioned on the radio that spirits have begun to communicate with me, and angels and so on and so forth. So this has been occurring for you for years and years and years. But even for people like us who are in the business of helping people, working in a spiritual vein, they said to me, the system is rigid. And that applies to me. That applies to us. The system is rigid. That is the reality of life on the planet. You have to get through that rigidity.
Right. You've mentioned Hitler. I'll give you a good example of Hitler. He's recently surfaced in the news. His birthplace was going to be demolished. It Braunheim or something. I can't remember. It's a German name, but it's on the tip of my tongue. But now that was going to be demolished. And what they decided is they want to save it and turn it into a site to help the disabled. Now, get this. They want to demolish it so there's no recognition of his birth. There's no place where Nazi sympathizers can go and worship him or do whatever. They want to turn it into a place to help the disabled. Now, that I think is a plan that could be put into effect. However, get this. Does that mean that Hitler could come back to help the disabled, or will he become
disabled,
one of the disabled needing help? So there's a strange kind of Twilight Zone essence to that. I almost could see Rod Serling stepping into the to the decision making, that we are still held responsible for our actions, and how that occurs upon coming back to the planet is not necessarily in our own dialogue of authority in terms of how we are going to conduct our existence on the planet.
Right.
They say that, you know, we choose our parents. No, we don't choose our parents.
Yeah.
We
or
don't
think like a billionaire and you'll become a billionaire. I mean,
no,
it's ridiculous.
It doesn't happen that way. And if we choose our parents, what say do they have in it? You don't. And it's just ridiculous premise. It's nonsense. The line of karma is so deep and intricate that the physical human brain cannot really comprehend,
fathom
the
intricacies
of what karma and the origins of that is. No more than we as human beings can dictate where karma is going to take us. But I can hold my own personal beliefs, maybe as you do, that I do not believe that those of us who have done great atrocities on the planet get to choose
escape.
How we come
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
No. Just like we can't commit a crime and tell the jailer, hey, I want a martini today.
Maybe for the last meal, though I don't think they serve alcohol at the last meal, you know, if you're going to be executed. You do get to choose your food in that case.
I thought
but
it was
I think
bread
that's
and water
the
and wine
time.
At the last meal.
That's right.
Know, but anyways, but that's just the way it is.
The way it is. Isn't that someone? Walter Cronkite used to say that.
That's
Gosh.
The way it is.
Gosh, yeah. I miss announcers like him.
He was a
excellent.
Great announcer and a great personality. And the thing about Walter Cronkite was we followed him in world events. And when he choked up when President Kennedy died, I mean, that was a moment that spoke for the nation, more or less the world.
Yeah.
So Walter Cronkite was sort of a fire chat bedfellow of newscasters. He brought us into the intimacy of not only his intellectual scope and his reporting skills, but his heart and compassion as well.
Yeah, rare talent. You don't see them like that anymore.
Yeah, great thinker too.
Yeah. Okay, let's bring on another caller, shall we? 203. Hi there. Caller, are you there? Oh, I brought on the wrong caller. 203-818. Hi, sorry.
Hi.
Who is this?
My name is Toya. How are you?
Toya, hi. Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there.
Hanging in there. All right. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay. And what's your birth date?
My birth date is 5/29/85.
Okay. What's going on?
I am feeling a little confused. There's a lot of travel opportunities opening up for me.
Okay.
And I just pretty much wanted like a general, you know, with finances or whatever it is that you see.
Okay, just a general reading. Well, gosh, your karmic number, Toya, is, she's 39123. Is that what you got? 39123. So you're compounded, meaning that you have extended karma that you're dealing with from past lives in this lifetime. So you have to reduce your karmic number, which is 39, some of your birth date, to 12 and then to the number 3. And you're not 39 yet. You're 31 years old. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
31. You're going to be 32. So, because she's gone through 10 cycles of her master number at the age of 30. Maybe there was some kind of change then. Anything, Toya, that happened at the age of 30?
At the age of 30, that's when I basically became mature.
Oh, well, that's good. You had a shift in your consciousness.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, all right. So, and you're wondering about just is general themes or?
Yes.
Well, you mentioned travel.
She's 85, 31.
You mentioned her
age.
You know, is any of the traveling connected to job opportunities?
Well, one of them was, yes.
Yeah, I want to concentrate on that one. And you speak in past tense. What do you mean was?
I was supposed to go down on, I was supposed to go to the Virgin Islands on last week Sunday, and I didn't go. I got scared, but the offer was still there to go in the future.
Why didn't you go?
I didn't go.
No, but why? What was your reasoning?
Oh, I was a little bit uncertain. And then I was getting ready to go to Jamaica on the 4th for my grandma's funeral.
Toya, are you around anyone that you don't trust?
Yes.
So, you know, the idea, it isn't hard for me to figure a person's dialogue out. The idea of not trusting someone is important because when you have an element of non-trust and you talk about maturity at the age of 30, what we get down into is a deeper root between not trusting perhaps parent in the first circumstance. Hmm. So let me ask you a few general questions. Were your parents divorced?
They was never married.
Yeah. So they were never married. So did you live with one over another or did they live together but not married?
Nope, I lived with my mom.
Yeah. And did you have any kind of obvious feelings about your father that you didn't quite trust him or felt so totally secure with him due to his issues of non-marriage?
Yes.
Yeah. So that extends, you see, I've already figured it out. That extends deeper down into time going forward, in other words, that backwards too, because of karma, that you have come in with a karma of a certain distrust of men. And I uphold your experience, and I also uphold the idea that you should not have trusted this individual.
you should not trust this individual that you're speaking of.
So she should not be traveling with this person,
no.
Obviously.
And the Virgin Islands would have come to no good.
Yeah.
Now, so you know, this gets into a different kind of a read, Toya, because the idea here is a delicate one. The idea is, how do we, as a team, you know, Chris and I, deal with a human being who has karma in the issue of male-female relationships pertaining to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a very delicate situation to work out, because the karmic intensity of that is perhaps, aside from this lifetime, maybe as a male in a past life, you produced issues that concerned mistrust. I don't know, you know, and that's another condition you have to kind of figure into it. Is there anything to do with music around you?
Yes. I have a friend that, as a fact, one of the trips that's coming up in February, me and my friend suggested that he do a video out there.
Yeah.
A music video.
Yeah, you see?
So he's a musician. You're not a musician.
Yes.
Are you a musician?
I'm not.
You're not.
I'm not.
But you see, this is the idea of calling a psychic show. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. And yet the vibration of your call is providing information for us that is being validated by the very premise of our topic. And so, you know, this reading seems to be one of caution. And caution aside from transcendence.
What do you think about this February trip? I'm sorry to interrupt, but she's saying there's another trip, so you're talking about caution and, you know.
Well, is the trip in February, would you be staying at anyone's apartment or home?
We're going to be staying at a condo at the
resort. I don't know. You know, I'm getting too many vibes that you're validating that concern me regarding your safety. Now, when I mean safety, do I mean you're going to die? No, I don't think it's a matter of that. But I wouldn't want to do a radio show where I'm suggesting by my comments that by doing so, I'm putting you in harm's way to some degree, which I feel there is some concern there. I don't know yet what it is. Does it mean that you can still go to this condo and stay? Perhaps. But I don't know what this intensity of concern is as we speak on the radio, but there is one for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably surrounding maybe some of the people she's traveling with, I would imagine.
Could be.
Wow.
I want to say a word to you, and you just tell me what you think. When I say the word, let's play a word association game. The word is peppermint.
Candy.
Yeah, candy. But is there anything
adjective
regarding peppermint in your experience? Anything around the idea of Christmas, December, any birth dates?
Well, peppermint, I am using peppermint soap right now. That's what I bathe with.
Oh. Then that's why. See, I'm even smelling you, Toya. Better be careful.
Wow.
And I'm even smelling you. So the idea is I've got my vibe on you. And what does that mean? That means that there's intervening angels, spirits, guides speaking to us, and there is some degree of concern. Now, who has a cat or a kitten or had a cat or a kitten?
I do. I have one now.
Yeah. So the idea goes on and on and on. We're in an elongated discussion that we can't accommodate on the radio show, but I will leave you with this. Be cautious.
Okay.
Okay, Toya, if there are more questions, sorry, I'm having a speech impediment.
I'm sorry. Do you guys do private readings?
Yeah, so I was going to give you the number. It's 562-596-7818. If you email, I'm just going to send you back to the phone number. So that's the number to call after the show. But hopefully that is somewhat helpful. At least it confirms your feelings that this wasn't a safe trip to the Virgin Islands. Yeah, so you were right on that account. Okay.
I'm sorry, what was the number again? 562?
596-7818. And it's on Blog Talk Radio as well as on Facebook, I think, too. So it's published in more.
You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for calling our show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. For
You're welcome.
Me.
You're welcome. Take care.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we've got a couple more callers, so I'm going to take 262 and then 727. Those are our final two today. Amy, hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good.
1229.69. She's a 39.12.3. That's the third 39.12.3 we've had. I mean, one of the other people was a person that was being asked about. They weren't a caller, but theme going on today. What's happening?
Well, I was getting pretty concerned about finances kind of in the short term, and I started applying for jobs. And as of this morning, I have two part-time jobs. And I guess I'm just asking, you know, is this going to be a good direction for a period of time, or is this simply a stepping stone, or I don't know.
Right, because you're ultimately interested in the acupuncture path, so we know that. What kind of jobs are you doing?
Well, one is Uber, and the other is helping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then the other one's being a caretaker for a woman locally who wants somebody to, she has a condition that makes her exhausted, so she needs help cleaning, she needs help with pretty much everything.
Okay, so do you know what Uber is, Neil?
The driving?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that would be a job I would not want to do. Driving.
Yeah,
I hate driving.
I hate driving too.
We hate driving. And in the cold, you're in Wisconsin, so.
Yeah. Oh, I'm used
wow.
to it.
Wow. Yeah, you're used to it. You're used
yeah.
to it.
Well, Amy, you're going through, you're a woman who is going through a duality of energy. One is a karmic essence of struggling and surviving, which we have sympathy for you because you're aspiring to be an acupuncturist.
Mm-hmm.
And so by working through this karma on one level with your right hand, so to speak, you're trying to wash the dishes, take care of somebody, drive a car, and then with your other hand you're trying to do acupuncture. So
right.
The idea is that there's a split. And
because there's a split in the types of jobs she's doing,
yeah.
Driving and then caretaking. It's kind of like a masculine,
feminine
thing.
Typical of compounded people. But, you know, we don't want to rest our case and just say, well, you know, Amy, you're compounded, so live with it. My comment about you is that you're meant to be an acupuncturist. That's it, period. My essence of life is that if you're meant to do something or you have a goal, you live your life to that goal. So I would say that if you have to drive a car, help a woman, do it. That's fine. Don't give up on what you have to do and have
right.
sheer determination. And hopefully, you know, you're 46. So
yep.
There's no reason why this has to
She's going to be 47.
Yeah. Well, the 46 too involves three cycles of her master number three past the age of 39. And that's significant. Something you're working through. I quite haven't figured it out yet. And my input of readings and being optimistic and using powers and suggestions, obviously it's still in the working. I'm not going to let go of the fact that you will succeed. You're going to succeed.
Right.
And this isn't atypical of compounded people. Sometimes it's just difficult to get there. You hang in there, just do these jobs. And by golly, you know, hopefully by the time you're 47 coming up.
Yeah, because
somewhere,
she's doing another test in January, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be February, but it won't be.
Oh.
I mean, if it's not January, it's not going to be too long after.
Well, you know, to study is
prepare,
to swallow,
prepare, prepare. That's...
Swallow what you study, internalize it, memorize it, go over it and over it and over it. You just have to do that. There's something in your brain that's there's a lapse, and you've got to
right.
concentrate on retaining the information and getting through whatever you need to get through to recover it during a test.
And then there's, I guess, one question related to that is I was going to, kind of embarrassing, but apply for accommodations because of, I've had diagnosis of anxiety and ADHD. And I can tell you, I was taking the test, the clock running was giving me a panic attack. And I know better.
You're saying you should get an accommodation for the test? I mean, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, we all have anxiety for test taking.
You know what? Get over your anxiety. You can spend a lifetime on the couch talking about your anxieties. Don't look at the clock. You know, think about something else. Do whatever you can. Be creative. To talk about your anxieties, I get it. You know, okay, you talk about your anxieties, great sensitivity, but it's not helping you. You've got to get over your anxieties, and the way to get
right
over
rather
them,
than be a victim of anxiety.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy it. I don't buy it. Listen, I'm sensitive. I get it. I have a degree and all that. But I understand. But I'm not going to worship the anxiety-ridden individual by comprising a dialogue that, well, you're anxiety-ridden. Let's do therapy for 4 years. I'm more tough act. And that's just the way I am, because I find that that's much more efficient. So eliminate, minimize your anxiety. Quit thinking about them. Think about your aspirations and your strengths.
Right. Not why. Because I think if you set your mind up, I mean, this is a very simple level of shifting energy. If you do focus on all the reasons why you're having problems, then it will perpetuate. But we have to move on to other callers, Amy, but nice to talk to you.
Thanks.
To talk to you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
727. And I'm someone who is I have an anxious personality. I would say I'm high. I can be high. Well, I don't want to call myself high strung, but I'm an intense person. So I get it.
I've had my anxiety moments for sure, but I've come out of it analyzing what is the best approach to dealing with anxiety, and I really believe strength is the best approach.
Okay, 727.
Hello.
Hi, who's it?
My name is Ross.
Hi, Ross.
My birthday is 6886.
6886. I like that name on a woman, Ross.
What?
6886.
Yeah, 6-8, June 8th, 1986.
Neil's just learning about birth dates.
There's 88 days in June. What's her name?
Ross.
Ross?
Yeah.
Like the shoes?
38-12.
No, like the investment. Ross IRA.
Roth, R-O-T-H.
Oh,
Roth. Well, still a pretty name for a woman. It's kind of a masculine name, but it's, I like it.
Thank you. 38-12-3,
right? And what's going on, Roth?
My main concern, I feel like, is love. It seems like it's making my entire life all discombobulated. It's my love life. I found love earlier this year, and kind of disappeared on me.
Sorry, Roth, I made a mistake. I said 38-12-3, but I meant to say 38-11-2. No, she's a 38-11-2.
Down 12-2.
We're all discombobulated here. No, you're a 38-11-2, and it's.
I'm following you and making mistakes.
No, you're making your own mistakes. Take responsibility. You are 38-11-2, so 38 is your karmic number, Ross, and she's not 38 yet, is she?
No.
How old are you? 32? 30 years old. So you're asking about relationship, and it's not a surprise because your master number is 2, and you have to reduce that 38 to an 11 and then reduce it to a 2. That's the second chakra, the sacral chakra. It has to do with relationships, so that's going to be a guiding theme in your life, and it certainly is on this show. So you have someone in mind. You want us to look at his birth date?
His birth date is 11-26-1983.
11-26-1983. So just real quick, his year is your karmic number reversed. His day, 26 is your day 8 in combination. So 2 and 6 is 8. 8 is your day. It's also the first day of your year. His 11 is a 2. It's your master number. It relates, I mean, there's, so there's all kinds of stuff going on here. 26 is his day to your day. I mean, his month to your month is 2-6. That's his day. So there's a lot of connections going on. And the years are interchangeable.
6-8 and an 8-6.
Right, yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, there's a reversal, a mirror image of your day and month in your year.
Roth, you have a reflection of past life conditions confronting you. A reflection of past life conditions. If you notice, if you stand in front of a mirror and you reach with your right hand out to your reflection reaches back with its left side. It's a reflection of energy. You have a reflection of karma. And we only have 90 seconds, so we don't have much
time. Give her
an
extra minute.
But this individual that you are, you're currently intertwined with, if we can use that word, is a reflection of karma. There's a karmic situation going on there. And so what it means is that you would have to dig a little bit further back into your past to understand why your present moment is blossoming the way it is. So I would say that somewhere around the age of 14, Roth, around the age of 14 in the eighth grade, was there any condition in your family household or your family dynamics that was disturbing to you? Were there any moves, any problems in your mother and father, anything like that?
14, I think it would be me, actually. I think it would be just abuse.
What kind of abuse?
All types, actually, from my parents. They're pretty narcissistic.
Yeah, so that's
okay.
What you were saying.
So I reach back to you, the age of 14. I find from you the idea of a problem. You confirm it by abuse with your parents. And I'm saying that that is the root problem, at least in this lifetime, for the condition you find yourself in now, as far as the indecisive quality of a relationship. So we have to look at the dynamics of your upbringing in order to configure how to undo the situation you find yourself in, where there's a convoluted sense of well-being. And that's not a difficult process. But it's like, you know, I can't tie my shoe, there's a knot in it. Well, you don't continue to tie your shoe with a knot in it because you can't tighten it. So
right, you untie it.
So you have to undo the knot to get to, and then tie your shoe. What you're trying to do is tie the relationship in it when there's a knot in it.
Right.
And there's nothing more frustrating than trying to tie your shoe with a knot in the way. You can't tighten it. You can't get a grasp of it. You can't get a grasp of love because you have a knot in your connection, in your upbringing. It has to be undone. I don't know. Maybe you've tried. It doesn't seem to be working yet, but it can be resolved.
Okay, Roth, we're at the end of the show, and unfortunately, we didn't have too much time with you, but you're welcome to call back. We're back on the air on Monday, or you can call for a private conversation, 562-596-7818.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And to our 386 caller, we don't have time to reach you. You did come in late, and we were very busy today. But we're back on the air on Monday. Normally, that's not a day we're regularly on, but because of the holiday, we'll be broadcasting on Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers.